To stay with this item or issue, we're joined now by Charlie Flanagan, who's Minister for Justice. Good morning, Minister, and thank you very much for taking the call. Were you surprised at the Commissioner's resignation and the timing of it?
No. The possibility of the retirement of the Garda Commissioner was flagged to me in recent weeks. Obviously, it was treated as confidential until the Commissioner made that decision herself. And herself alone. So I can't say I was surprised.
Now, the government has lost two commissioners in 3 years. To quote Oscar Wilde, once is unfortunate and twice is careless. What's gone wrong here?
Well, there are difficulties in the Garda Síochána, that's widely known. And government will be leading the charge to ensure that public confidence in the Garda Síochána is maintained. We have a long history of a civilian Garda force of world class, and it's important that that be maintained. That will, of course, involve reforms, and there have been very, very difficult times in recent years. A difficult challenge. I don't underestimate the task. There have been some scandals, and these are being dealt with. We need to engage in due process here. And I have no illusions here. This is not an easy program of reform, and we shouldn't underestimate the scale. In the first instance, we need to ensure that the program of reform is adequately set out. We have some reports already. We have some studies. What we need now is actions. And the Garda Commissioner herself was in the vanguard of reform. Under the 5-year reform, the high level workforce plan that was instituted last year, and that was in the course of being carried out.
Yeah, but that's the very issue now. You're in the job a wet week, and your first major job as Justice Minister is to find a new commissioner. Will you be looking outside the country, Minister, to recruit someone?
There is a process there set in law. There is a role for the first time for the Independent Policing Authority. They will be very much involved in the process, and they will be involved in the selection. They will ultimately make a recommendation to government that government will act on, and I, as Minister for Justice, will act on. So I expect over the next few days to be speaking with the Chair of the Policing Authority, Josephine Feely. We will discuss how best we will move on the process. It will take a number of weeks, possibly even months. In the meantime, I'm very pleased that Deputy Commissioner Donald O'Coolan has undertaken the task of acting as interim commissioner, acting commissioner, with all the role and function of power that was vested by law in Commissioner Noreen O'Sullivan.
Okay. Now, Minister, one of the issues that has been raised in recent times is that the job of Garda Commissioner isn't particularly attractive to more talented outsiders, so to speak. The 180 grand a year isn't enough. The government increase the salary of the country's top cop, so to speak, to attract a better class of candidate from outside?
I think, Paul, it's all too early at this stage to be speaking about the terms and conditions and pay of a new commissioner. The process haven't even commenced yet. But I would agree with you insofar as when people talk about international expertise, going across the water to seek a Garda chief or whatever, we are dealing here with a relatively small force in the region of of 14,000 Gardaí. My aim as Minister for Justice is to ensure that is increased, that we will have an overall Garda workforce of 21,000 by 2021. We want a world-class Garda force here in Ireland. As to whether this is an attractive proposition for an international expert, somebody with international experience, somebody with international expertise, these are issues that the police authority will be discussing over the next few weeks, and I intend to start that process very early.
Okay, Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Interesting there. So it didn't come as a bolt from the blue.
That was a big surprise. He said it was flagged for several weeks, but they had to keep it confidential. Now, that means if it was several weeks, she was away for several weeks, 5 weeks. So I would take from that, logically, that this discussion was taking place before she went on holidays. Mm. So this was known by Leo Varadkar and Charlie Flanagan some time.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't overly impressed with some of the things Charlie Flanagan had to say. These controversies are being dealt with. I don't think they are being dealt with, Minister. And it's too early to talk about the paying conditions of the next commissioner. I'm sorry, this is the very time we should be talking about the paying conditions of the next commissioner to make sure we get the best man or the best woman for the job. So I don't think it is too early.
In fact, let's stay with that again. Fianna Fáil spokesperson on justice, Jim O'Callaghan, joins us now. Good morning, Jim, and thank you for taking the call.
Good morning, Paul.
You heard the minister there. What would you say? What would your advice be? Wearing your legal and political hats, should the minister and the government go outside the state to find a new Garda chief?
Well, you asked me this question a number of months ago, and my view that at present in Garda Síochána, we should be looking to try to recruit a civilian or someone from outside the jurisdiction from another police force for the role of Garda Commissioner. I don't say that out of any disrespect to members of Garda Síochána, but when you look at what are the challenges facing the force at present, they're very unique and particular challenges. And the main challenge facing the force is trying to modernise the force and to ensure that there's a change in management within the force. And so now it is really a management job. If you looked at the Garda Force back in, for instance, the 1980s, you would want somebody who would be able to deal with the terrorist threat. But the issue that really needs to be faced by the next commissioner is to recognise that we need to change management within Garda Síochána to ensure that the change, which in fairness to Noreen O'Sullivan, she started, continues within the force.
Now, Jim, in your statement following her resignation yesterday, you said her resignation means there has been some accountability within Garda Síochána for the 1.5 million false breath tests recorded in the Garda Pulse system. Now, recently, it has been suggested that up to 1,000 Garda members on the ground could be disciplined, which is 10% of the Garda force, effectively, may be disciplined in relation to the breath test issue. Do you think that Noreen O'Sullivan, by falling on her sword, has reduced the need to go after 1,000 Gardaí on the ground and maybe could open the door to an amnesty and let's start all over again?
Well, the reason why we called in Fianna Fáil for the current commissioner to stand aside was because we felt that there should be some accountability for the 1.5 million false breath tests and the 14,700 wrongful convictions. The numbers were so enormous that you can't regard the breath tests as being isolated incidents that you go and you investigate them for the purpose of discipline. These weren't isolated incidents. They were obviously a practice within the Garda Force between 2009 and 2017. I've heard a lot of some politicians, some government people saying that we need to start the process of disciplining Gardaí within the force for this. I don't think that's feasible, and in many respects, I don't know whether it would be fair if it was the case that there was a practice going on in the Garda Síochána for a period of 8 years, and young guards were told to go along with that practice. Well, do we not start the process now of trying to identify them? But if we are going to go down the route of disciplining guards, and it's not a matter for a politician to describe this, we have to ensure that every single one of them is disciplined and people aren't just disciplined on the basis.
And when you use the word discipline, a disciplined organisation is run from the top down, not from the bottom up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but like, when you look at the report prepared by Assistant Commissioner O'Sullivan, what he did was he examined over 2,000 checkpoint incidents, as he called it. We know that between the years 2009 and 2017, there were over 500,000 checkpoint incidents. And they involve a Garda, after a mandatory alcohol testing checkpoint, phoning in information into the Garda Information Service Centre. Each one of those 500,000 calls has been recorded. It's not tenable for the Gardaí to start listening to each one of the 500,000 calls to see whether or not there was a breach of discipline. And at the end of the process, I don't think it would be conclusive in any event. So I would move on from it.
Yeah, Jim, now before we allow you to move on, I want to put one point to you. Noreen O'Sullivan, in her statement yesterday, described that her job was responding to an unending cycle of requests, questions, instructions and public hearings involving various agencies, including the PAC, the Justice and Equality Committee, the Policing Authority and various other inquiries, and dealing with inaccurate commentary surrounding all these matters. Does she not have a point that her job was made untenable with the huge political momentum that went against her?
Yeah, I think there is a point there, and as politicians we're great at describing and condemning problems within the force, I think we also need to recognise, as politicians, we have a responsibility as well to try to improve the force. like the point she was making is that she's the policing authority supervisor and she's to go before them. There's the Public Accounts Committee, she's to go before them. And the Justice and Equality Committee, she's to go before them. In fairness to the Justice and Equality Committee, the Commissioner's only been before us twice since February 2016. She was before us in October 2016 and in March of this year. But I do think we need to streamline the manner by which the Gardaí are held to account. Obviously, the Oireachtas is entitled to call the Commissioner before a committee of the Oireachtas. Mm. But I think we have to be careful that you don't have a situation where every second day the Commissioner has been brought in before the Public Accounts Committee or the Justice and Equality Committee, and then the next day she's before the Policing Authority, okay, and all the questions are the same, you know.
Okay. Fianna Fáil spokesperson on Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, thank you very much.
We're staying with this subject now at 22 minutes past 8 on News Talk Breakfast. Alan Kelly of the Labour Party joins us. Alan, what do you in the Labour Party believe should happen now?
Well, this is a unique opportunity. The resignation of the Commissioner was inevitable. It's something we've been calling for some time. It's a unique opportunity where we need to use this opportunity to really ensure that the necessary reform and modernisation of the Gardaí happens. I believe that the commission that's in place by the government to look at this reform, their work needs to be fast-forwarded hugely. And as a consequence of that, we need to use this opportunity to put in place structures that will change the way policing happens in this country, change the way the Gardaí are structured. And obviously, we have to go through a process of rebuilding confidence, which is very severely damaged, given all the controversies everyone knows about.
Can somebody from inside an Garda Síochána lead the police force into that new era, do you believe, or do you think it has to come from outside?
My personal belief is that at this juncture, it would be necessary for some period of time to bring in somebody from outside, because I believe that the culture and the structures need to change so dramatically. And if you were part of that structure and if you're part of that culture, I'm not sure at this stage it would be right to promote somebody from within in order to change that, because they're part of the structure, they're part of the culture. Later on, maybe we could go back to somebody inside, but I think at this juncture we should be looking outside. But there is one other point on this, which I think is critical. We should also take this opportunity to look at whether we should separate the policing of this country and the process by which we manage our security.
Okay.
Because in that scenario, you could have obviously two different people doing those jobs, where one would be able to concentrate solely on the policing aspect.
Okay, it's a reasonable point. Very, very briefly, just before we let you go, would the Labour Party be willing to endorse the payment of a higher salary than 180,000 if it meant getting the right man or the right woman from abroad?
Certainly, I believe that that would be something that we would support and certainly consider anyway.
Okay, Alan Kelly of the Labour Party, thanks indeed for talking to us. So we're going to stay with this story now. We're joined by Antoinette Cunningham, President of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors. Antoinette, I suppose the obvious first question, your reaction to the news of the Garda Commissioner's retirement?
The Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors would like to pay tribute to the Garda Commissioner, Noreen O'Sullivan, on her retirement following her tenure as Garda Commissioner. She was the first female Garda Commissioner to take up the role, and we would like as an association to wish her well in her retirement.
Do you think, with the benefit of hindsight, maybe 6 months or a year or two down the line, it will be perceived that Noreen O'Sullivan had an impossible job, that she came into the job at the worst possible time, that it was essentially mission impossible?
Well, I think there is the question that really is for debate, Shane. I mean, there are problems in An Garda Síochána. Everybody that's a part of the organisation, the public generally, and the wider stakeholders involved in the Garda organisation have admitted that there are problems that need to be sorted out within the organisation. So really and truly, you have to ask the question is, no matter who's in charge, do those problems still exist and will they have to be sorted out? And the answer is yes.
Attention is obviously going to turn to who's going to succeed Noreen O'Sullivan. There would be strong political momentum, I think probably already, and it's been there for some time, that the next Garda Commissioner should come from outside the force. Does the AGSI have a view on that?
Well, I think the view of AGSI, Shane, is very clear. No matter who's in charge of the Garda organisation, it's a rank-structured organisation. Whoever's in charge, we have to answer to them. So irrespective of whether it's a civilian person or whether it's a Garda person, a rank-structured organisation means that the lower ranks must be accountable and answer to the most senior ranks, and no matter who's in charge of the organisation, that's not going to change.
Last week was another really, really bad week for the Gardaí. This week, the Gardaí are going to be in the spotlight again now with Noreen O'Sullivan's retirement. Among your members, there must be a huge sense of frustration, a sense that maybe public confidence in the Gardaí, while it's not gone, that it's diminishing to some degree.
Quite often our members get frustrated, Shane, by different elements of what happens within an Garda Síochána and in political circles. But at the end of the day, there are people working 24/7. There's people on the night shift tonight, on the early shift this morning, that are answering the calls, dealing with the traffic accidents, dealing with the incidents that are on the ground. Quite often we don't have time on ground level to get drawn into the political games that go on. We now have a situation where the Garda Commissioner is going to retire. We have to await now again for another number of weeks or months to see who will take over management of the Garda organisation. That certainly can lead to feelings of uncertainty within the job itself. But here is the situation that we find ourselves in. It's a difficult time for an Garda Síochána, there's no doubt about that. And we await to see who will be the next person that will be in charge of this force.
One final question, I'm not sure if you'll be in a position to answer it. Do you feel that in time it'll come to be regarded that Noreen O'Sullivan became something of a political football, that people calling for her head on an almost weekly basis, that made her job almost impossible? Would your members have sympathy with her from that perspective?
I think there was admiration for Noreen O'Sullivan taking over the job as the Garda Commissioner at a very difficult time for the organisation. There are many problems that have been clearly identified within the Garda organisation. Those problems will still exist tomorrow afternoon when the Commissioner has retired. So the challenges remain, and as I said, as an association, we look forward to working with whoever takes up the next position to try and engage in the reform so badly needed within the organisation.
Did she become a political football, though?
Well, I'm not sure that's a fair question to ask. The job was the job it was applied for. I'm sure the Garda Commissioner was well aware of the job that she applied for at the time. I think the accountability and the matters that have emerged in Garda Síochána over the last year and a half, have been unprecedented. You know, playing political football is not something that AGSI, I believe, or any other association is interested in. We're interested in doing the job, serving the public, engaging in the reform and doing all that we can to make the organisation a better place.
OK, we'll leave it there. Antoinette Cunningham, President of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors, thanks indeed for talking to us this morning.